A lesson in how not to use the Constitution. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to this week-ending edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. Along with me today is my Vice Chairman and co-host and good friend, Chuck Michaels.
And it's good to be with you today, Barry.
It's good to have you here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's stunning to me how many people in high office just don't understand our form of government or our founding documents. You would think that one of the prerequisites to even filing to run for a congressional seat in this country would be that you had to certify that you had read and understood the United States Constitution. However, some of the highest officials in our land show a stunning lack of understanding for the form of our government and what the limitations are upon them and upon the state. Take, for example, something that just happened this week. Now, this is an issue that's been going on for a while. And Chuck, I think you'd probably be the best one to explain this, the background and things. As a matter of fact, this is going to be a tutorial from our constitutional teacher, Chuck Michaels, on why the Constitution won't allow our officials to get away with certain things, but it can only be a barrier if you and I step up and take note and inform our elected officials on it. So, Chuck, the history is we have a company, private enterprise, who wants to expand and create jobs. That's a good thing, isn't it?
Last I heard, especially in this economy.
Okay. Well, then, can you explain to me why? Maybe you can't, because maybe we just can't delve the psychology of someone who's this far afield. Why someone would want to try to shut down a company for trying to create jobs, especially an elected official?
Well, this is what happened. This is, again, the clash of the governmental worldviews. What is going on here is that the company we're talking about is Boeing. And Boeing wants to expand into I believe they build planes in Washington currently. And they want to build a new plant, but they want to build it in South Carolina, which is a right-to-work state.
Yes, and for those of you who are unfamiliar with that, a state that's considered a right-to-work state means that you cannot force employees into a union, that people have a right to work free of coercion from organized labor. Ohio is not quite a right-to-work state, but South Carolina is. And therein lies the crux of the problem, doesn't it, Charles?
And that is the real crux of the problem, because what has happened is the Labor Department, once Boeing announced that they were building this plant in South Carolina, and they were going to build, I believe they're going to build their Airbus in that plant. The 787, I think, is the designation for the plane. They announced they're going to move to South Carolina, and the Labor Department moves in and says, well, you can't do that.
Well, it was the Labor Department, but it was also the National Labor Relations Board.
The NLRB, which is an arm, essentially, of the Labor Department.
Right. So basically, it's an administrative board that's associated with a cabinet-level department in the United States government.
And basically, for no known constitutional reason, because there is no constitutional rationale behind this, basically the NLRB says you can't do that unless you make all the employees their union. You have to be a union shop in South Carolina, where we have a couple of constitutional issues. The first one I'll bring up, because we've mentioned this already, and that is that South Carolina law, because of the 10th Amendment, basically says, no, they don't have to go union here. Whatever employees that work for Boeing want to join the union, that's fine. But you're not going to be a closed shop and force every employee at Boeing to be a member of the union before they can get a job. The other issue here is the fact that what has happened is that the National Labor Relations Board is attempting to issue what's known as an attainder in this case. And we've talked about attainder a couple of times before. But what an attainder is a finding of guilt outside of a court of law. How did they find Boeing guilty? Well, they said, you are guilty of violating Washington labor law and federal labor law by building a plant that will be right to work in a state that allows that. So in other words, they're attempting to set policy for states that are right to work through a federal administrative law, and by finding Boeing guilty of this non-existent infraction.
But isn't that the way the system works, Chuck?
If they want it to work this way so badly, and this is why you hear Obama saying things like, we're going to be bypassing Congress a lot in the near future to get things done because Congress is being obstructionist. There is no power in the Constitution for the president to bypass Congress. In fact, once the press secretary started making those statements, why John Boehner isn't doing this, I don't know. I have an opinion, and I won't express it here, but the fact is, what should have been said is, if that happens again, we are going to begin impeachment hearings. We're going to put together a committee to examine the fact that you are now proclaiming that you are going to violate the Constitution and usurp congressional authority. But that's another show. The fact is that what the crux of our focus here is on this Boeing problem and the National Labor Relations Board, who is making a stink that they are basically going to fine Boeing and not issue them the permits to build the plant. So well beyond any kind of known constitutional authority.
Honestly, Chuck, that really sounds like there's a word for the blackmail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's blackmail.
Well, you know, first of all, I think just for the sake of our audience, ladies and gentlemen, you know what? This is something that if it's allowed to happen, if you're allowed to have an unelected bureaucracy basically utilize blackmail against a company or even against the state, because really this is an impacting the state of South Carolina as well. Where will it stop? It has to stop where the power lies. And that is with we the people. If you look at the preamble to the Constitution, it's very clear up there. We the people do ordain and establish this Constitution. So we the people must go to our elected officials who are our employees. We hire them with our votes and we pay them with our taxes, so they work for us. And we must say, stop this insanity. But you know what? We can't, Chuck, just say stop this because we don't like it or because we think it's bad. Or because our opinion is that it sets a bad precedent, or we feel that it's not fair, which is oftentimes the way good intentioned folks write letters or send emails or make phone calls to their elected officials. What we need to do is similar to what Christ did when confronted by Satan in the wilderness. It is written. Quote, chapter and verse. So where do they find in the Constitution this idea that Congress can't issue bills of attainder?
Yeah, well, it's basically Article 1's section. I'm trying to remember the section now. I know it's forbidden.
I think it's Section 9.
Section 9, yeah. But the fact is, we have to think in terms, too, of whose ox is being gored here. If Boeing moves to South Carolina and builds planes in a non-union plant, what does that mean for certain political parties who count on union donations from forced collection of union dues in order to pad their coffers? That's the real bottom.
I guess the padding will be a little bit thinner.
The padding will be greatly thinner because a lot of those jobs that would have landed in Washington will land in South Carolina. And that's one of the real problems here.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you might have some people who would say, now, wait a minute. Isn't it because, you know, this company may come in there and they're going to, like, build this plant. They may try to offer people jobs at $6 an hour. And that's just not right. And the government should step in. And the National Labor Relations Board is just exactly right. And they need to force this.
Well, why
is that a wrong way of thinking?
I'd have to ask, why is it wrong to offer jobs at $6 an hour if there's, first of all, skilled labor that will take the job at that rate? And the fact is, people that build airplanes are not going to work for $6 an hour.
Well, and right there's the point, is that it is the fact that even though we say right to work, it doesn't necessarily mean you have a right to have a job at whatever wage you want to set. That's a negotiation. You're trading your labor, your physical production, for remuneration, for a certain wage or salary or benefits or whatever has you. That's a free market contract, isn't it, between a person who has labor supply and a person who has monetary supply and who needs a product.
Well, you've got another issue here, and that is that, for instance, Boeing is dealing in a market that is not, I hate this phrase, but it's not a level playing field. Because Airbus, is a French company, and they are deeply subsidized in building those planes.
Okay.
So they can afford to sell them at really cheap prices that Boeing can't do because it has labor costs. And one of the ways they want to reduce their labor costs and increase their productivity to run the cost of the airplane down is by moving to a state where they don't have to deal with work stoppages and slowdowns and those kinds of things, and they can negotiate realistic salaries.
So in other words, they wouldn't have been looking at Ohio or maybe even Wisconsin when they started to make this move anyway in the first place. They're going to be looking for a state that understands free market principles.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you see, but there again, that's the other thing about our country. There's nowhere in the Constitution. You know, our Declaration says that we have certain inalienable rights granted to us by our Creator. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And we know that by pursuit of happiness, Jefferson meant property rights. We talked about that on a previous program. But our property that we have right now is in our labor. If I as a worker, or say a potential worker in South Carolina, my labor is my property. So I have a right in my property, but I can loan or utilize my property for the benefit of not just myself, but of others, by going and signing a contract with a company to work for them at a set rate or a set amount of benefits or hours, things of that nature that are known up front to both parties.
Oh, that's right.
That's the essence of liberty in this country. But here we have the federal government through the National Labor Relations Board and the Labor Department, the Obama Labor Department, basically telling a private company and private employees, no, we're going to dictate the terms of your labor exchange, your property rights exchange, because ultimately we own your property. We're the ones who can tell you what you can do, when you can do it, and how you can do it. And that, my friends, is extremely dangerous.
Well, we have a little piece of audio here that kind of illustrates the arrogance that's being put forth even from members of Congress who are in support of this move by the National Labor Relations Board. This is former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, now the House Minority Leader, being interviewed on CNBC.
Okay.
Well, how important are concessions about the regulatory environment? This is the final question here on this murky environment that we're seeing. CEOs tell me all the time that, you know, they don't know the details of Dodd-Frank. It's the law of the land, and we're still writing the rules. We've got the EPA making decisions and legislation. It's supposed to come from Congress, and it seems like, you know, we're going around things, and the EPA is coming out with its own rules. You've got the Labor Relations Board, the situation with Boeing. I mean, for starters, do you think it's right that Boeing has to close down that plant in South Carolina because it's non-union?
Yes. I don't know if they could close it down. I would hope that they would make it union.
But well, this is a corporate decision. Yeah. Should government be getting involved in corporate decisions like
that? They can get... You asked me what I thought, and I told you what I thought.
Well, there was a nice little bit of equivocation at the end, but the fact is that she made it clear that she wants to use the power of government to help, quote-unquote, help Boeing decide in favor of building a union plant.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chuck, just for our listeners' sake, Article 1, Section 9 is a restriction on the power of Congress. Where does the Labor Department and the NLRB, where are their restrictions?
Well, their restriction is in the fact that the National Labor Relations Board is completely unconstitutional. There is nowhere in the United States Constitution anywhere that allows the federal government to interfere in business labor relations.
So in other words, instead of backing the NLRB, Nancy Pelosi and the rest of Congress should be ending the NLRB because it's totally unconstitutional.
Defunding and dismantling.
Exactly. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to write or call your congressman about this, you need to go at it from that perspective that, number one, Congress can't pass a bill of attainder. Number two, that board has no authority under our Constitution, so therefore Congress has a duty to dismantle it. That's where we need to go to so we can have free markets, free minds and free exchange of labor and ideas in our nation.
Well, we are flat out of time, so join us tomorrow at noon for our one-hour weekend show.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us.